Pressroots Podcast.
Welcome into the Press Roots Podcast. I'm Mason Choate, along with my host, Robert Stewart. Today, we have an awesome interview with a very special guest. We talked to Justin Akery. He's the general manager from 103.7 The Buzz in Central Arkansas. He's also the host of The Zone from 10 to 1 there at The Buzz. He's also the voice of the UCA Bears, a team that, you know, they've been playing a lot of different teams. They have a really cool schedule. They were the first team to play a college football game this year. So it was an awesome interview. I love talking to Justin. He was a great guy. He was really nice to us, and we really enjoyed it, and I know you'll enjoy it too. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at PressRootsPod. DM us, chat with us, ask us to get someone on. We'll do it. And we really appreciate you listening to this podcast. Go ahead and give us 5 stars on Apple. That would be great. And please, please enjoy this interview with Justin Akery. All right, we now welcome on Justin Akery from 103.7 The Buzz. Justin, first of all, I want to thank you very much for coming on. I'm a big fan of yours. And second of all, I just want to ask you, you're a very busy man. You work for The Buzz. You're the general manager of the station, and then you're also play-by-play for UCA as well. How do you manage your time so well, and are there days where you're like, man, this is just too much for me?
Yeah, thanks for having me first off. And I appreciate you guys. I think you got to compartmentalize, and that's something I've always been pretty good at. So I'm pretty good about, you know, making sure my calendar is up to date and I've got everything that I need to get done on there. And so I may schedule time for preparing for a game or schedule meetings or schedule things I need to do as a general manager or setting up interviews for my show or, I just think being organized is important. I've always kind of been that way. And luckily that fits really well with what I'm doing, you know, in my job now.
So your bio on the Buzz website, it says you worked for KATV for 5 years out of college, but 5 years as a general assignment reporter. You're a big sports guy, so how did you make that work?
Yeah, so I actually was there for 8 years. I started out as a news reporter, so I came here from Duluth, Minnesota. I was there for a year, and then I came down here as a news reporter. And KTV was a great place to work. I mean, they were really good about letting people tell stories. And it's something that has changed a little bit. And it's not that people don't still do that, but, you know, story count is such an important thing now. And they really try to keep things pretty concise. And I like to tell more long form stories. And they gave me some latitude to do that as a news reporter. And that was intriguing. Even when I was in Minnesota, though, they sort of would ease me into sports when they needed a backup because they knew I followed sports closely and was a big sports fan. And I initially did not choose sports out of college because I knew there were such limited opportunities in a newsroom for sports people where there were a lot more opportunities for news reporters or anchors. And so I always wanted to work in sports. So there was no question about that. And then when Arkansas would go to bowl games, I would always sort of be the news element guy. So I would go and cover the fan events, or I may talk to an administrator or something like that, you know. So it wasn't the truth. I wasn't going to practices or interviewing coaches, but I was doing the sort of related stories, the sidebar stories, and that was fun. So it just was a good fit. And then Scott Inman, they kind of felt like would be a better fit in news, and it was serendipitous for me because I asked and they were thinking the same thing, and they just slid me from news into sports, and Scott came in and took over on the news desk, and you know, the rest is history. And so I did that for 3 years. I worked with Paul Eels and Steve Sullivan back there. And then I got an opportunity to go full-time at The Buzz. And a lot of people thought I was crazy for leaving radio to come, or leaving TV to come to radio. And maybe I was, but it worked out well for me. And I'm happy. I didn't really particularly care for having to work weekends all year round. I certainly didn't mind doing it during football season. I love it now, but I didn't want to work, you know, on weekends during July, you know what I mean? And then nights, and I'm more of a morning person. So this was a much better fit for me schedule wise. I usually start around 5 a.m. and I'm usually done with everything on a daily basis by 3 or 4. And then, you know, I'll prep the game kind of in my free time and get ready for that. And then we travel usually on Friday afternoons for a Saturday game if there's an out of town game. But yeah, I just think it was a good fit for me. It was a natural progression, and I always wanted to be in sports, and I was really fortunate that it worked out that way. I've been in broadcasting since 97, and it took me, let's see, I guess my first, it took me 10 years to get into play-by-play, which is what I really always wanted to do in the first place.
Now, I'm from Central Arkansas. I'm from Conway. And so I used to mow yards for like 3 summers during high school. So every day I was listening to your show. And I loved Pat Bradley. Like, I felt like you and Pat Bradley were just perfect together. And so I was really disappointed when he left. And then Wes Moore came in. How difficult was that transition from having a guy with, like Pat, that you worked with for so long, to now working with Wes?
Well, you know, it's really in sports talk radio, it's about roles. And I've played a couple different roles kind of through my career. I mean, when I first came in here, I had no idea what I was doing. And I was on a morning show, and I was like the third wheel on a morning show. So I was just basically reacting and being a smart aleck. And I had kind of that role. And I was also a guy that the main host could bounce sports stories off of. And, you know, and then I was on with Nathan Christian, and we moved into the midday slot, and I became more of a kind of the lead host and, you know, more serious. And Nathan was definitely a wild card. And then when Pat came over, you know, it was interesting because our roles kind of changed. Pat was kind of the goofy, fun, former athlete guy, but as time went on and then became an SEC Network guy, he really wanted to have more of a professional attitude and not be talking about going out to bars and partying and having a good time. He wanted to talk about sports, but he wanted to keep it pretty serious. So then I try to be a little bit more squirrely and a little more wild. With Wes, it's definitely different. Wes was a number one guy, and, you know, Pat really, I mean, look, Pat does a great job, but Pat had always kind of been in that number two role, reacting off of what path I led him down. And Wes was a number one guy. Wes had his own show before, so it was a little bit strange for him to come in here, but he's been great about being deferential and sort of letting me lead. Cause if both guys try to lead, you really create some issues there. Somebody has to drive the show, and you can trade off segments or trade off hours. There's ways to do it, but I love actually playing the number two role, kind of playing off of other people and not having to plan as much or be as organized. But this is just the job that I do. So no, it is definitely different. I mean, look, Wes has a different kind of personality than Pat does, for sure. Wes does a lot of prep. Wes is very engaged with the folks in Fayetteville, and he does a great job of helping set up interviews, and he's a good idea guy. Pat was really more a guy who was going to show up and be good about whatever we talked about. He'd be prepared, and he reads a lot and was up to date on everything, but he wasn't a guy that was going to go out and create a whole lot of content. So it's definitely different. And with my busy schedule, honestly, Wes really helps me a ton in setting up interviews and coming up with ideas for the show.
So you mentioned that you work UCA play-by-play, and that's always what you wanted to do, is do play-by-play. How did you land that gig with the University of Central Arkansas? And how nice is it to have said that you've been doing that for, what, over 15 years now?
Yeah, so we're going on, I guess, 13 in that role. And I've done basketball for, I guess this will be maybe my seventh season for basketball. But, you know, it was weird because it was funny because I was working two jobs. I was working here at the Buzz part-time, and I was working for the TV station 5 days a week. And they were opposite. They weren't the same day. So I was literally working 7 days a week for 3 years. So I was off on the weekends on the radio station, and I was off on Monday and Tuesday for TV. So it was really hard. And so I was married at the time, and my wife and I had this conversation, and we were both pretty stressed out, and there was a lot going on. And we had she had a kid when we got married. And so we just had a lot happen, you know? And so she's like, well, you can't do anything else. And I got this call out of the blue from the coach. Then it was Clint Conk, and he wanted to talk to me about maybe hosting his coach's show. And it was only Sundays, and it was a TV show. And you know, we were both like, I don't think we can do this. But my policy's always been at least listen and see how it goes. And, you know, when I went up there and talked to him, and I just felt like it was something I needed to do. And so she agreed to it, and it was fine. And it was a little extra money. So, you know, we were still pretty early in our marriage, and it worked out okay. And that grew into eventually when Central Arkansas went to Division I, they wanted to make some changes with the broadcast and do some different things. And so they invited me to be part of that. And we were able to build a team, and I called Steve Sullivan, and Steve had experience doing play-by-play. I wasn't really ready to be the play-by-play guy just yet. And I wasn't comfortable. I would have made it work, and I would have definitely worked hard to be ready, but it wasn't something I was prepared for. And so Steve was a great mentor to me for the years that he did it. And then I guess it's been, I don't know, maybe 4 years now since I moved over to the other chair and to play-by-play, but doing color with him was great. And I learned a lot about, you know, things to look for, and he was really a great teacher.
Going back to your radio show, you guys have a lot of big time guests. I've heard you guys have like a ton of guys where I'm like, wow, that guy's on this show. And it's weird for me. It's weird because it's a 10-to-1 slot, and I sometimes think that's kind of a weird slot to me. Mm-hmm. Do you think that because it's not like a drive time morning or afternoon slot, do you think that maybe that puts you at a disadvantage, or do you actually appreciate that slot?
Well, it works well with my professional life because it allows me to do some administrative things before I go on the air, and it also gives me enough time to like work out in the morning and, you know, get some other things done, so I don't have to sweat it when I get off the air. I can be a little more consistent in my life that way. But no, you're right. I mean, people definitely want to maximize their appearances. I just heard Coach Pittman actually on the show after mine, and so obviously that's not a prime time slot, but they're very good about that. And the coaches have been great in the state, not just at Arkansas, but the other schools too, and players too. So, no, it definitely is. I mean, they're definitely seeking out, you know, drive guys. And it's interesting because we do have a prep service that helps us with some of these interviews, Mason. And so, you know, they'll send us an email it'll be somebody that I love. Like the other day I interviewed Josh Mankiewicz, who's one of the reporters on Dateline. And I'm trying to think of the few other ones we've had this summer, like Lou Diamond Phillips, who's an actor that you guys may not know as well, but he was huge when I was growing up. Anyway, so we get these random guys occasionally or women, and I'll have to record it because, yeah, they're doing those appearances during morning shows, and our morning guys aren't interested in doing some of these. And so, yeah, we'll just tape them and then we'll run them during our show. It's been great. We've been really fortunate with that. And during COVID, that was critical. So it was awesome to get some of those interviews and be able to fill in some time with that.
When you're working on a story, what do you look for? Like what do you think makes a great story? And then how do you convey it to your audience, either on radio or on TV, like you've done in the past?
Yeah, in the context of, if we're talking about TV, that's one thing. If you're looking in the context of trying to tell a story as a sports talk host, it's a little bit different. But I guess as far as what we're doing right now, you know, there are stories that are so obvious, I just don't feel like there's a whole lot of ground to move with it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think there's much you can do with certain stories because they're so obvious. If it's something that was, you know, heinous or terrible or something that was so wonderful, you maybe spend a little bit of time on it, but there's just not a lot of talking points potentially for it. So I try to find things that, especially, we do a segment we call What the Hell once a week, and those are always fun. So those are kind of our off the wall stories. And there are some shows that's basically their whole format. They just rip and read these weird stories. We don't do it every day. We just do it once a week, but those are really my favorite things. And trying to find these sort of off the wall stories, the oddities of human life, and telling them in a way that's kind of entertaining. And you can find some audio elements sometimes that you'll mix in that make it kind of fun. I call it auditorily stimulating. So you just try to make, you know, again, people get tired of hearing the same voices over and over again. So it's fun when you can mix in, whether it's a movie clip or a song or, you know, maybe a little sound effect or something like that. But those are my favorite things. I look for things that have a little bit of room to work, and then you try to dig a little deeper. There are some stories that you're just going to do a cursory once over on, but then there are some, you know, like if it's a football game, like a Razorback game, you want to dig into stats, you want to talk about the storylines, you want to talk about a player that maybe screwed up late in the game and got his butt chewed by the coach and, you know, in front of everybody. I mean, there's all those little elements to the game, you know, injuries. So it's fun digging in on that. I mean, that's probably the most popular thing or the most common thing we dig into. This is our prime time of the year, is during football season, where we really can get in the weeds a little bit on what happened in a ball game.
Now, going back to the days with Pat Bradley, you guys also had Matty T, Matt Travis there. I'm a big fan of Matty T just because he, like you're talking about, all those different things where you're not exactly doing what everybody else is doing. He's not a sports guy, so from what I can tell, he's not a sports guy. So you guys would do movie segments and stuff, and I really enjoyed that. And so, like, how important do you think it is to not really do what everybody else is doing and, you know, just covering the Razorbacks or covering, I don't know, the Cowboys or something, and you're doing things that not every other show is doing? How important is it to be a little bit different?
Well, for me, I have to do it. It's critical. I'm interested in things outside of sports. I'm interested in things outside of the Razorbacks. I realize that's our bread and butter, and you have to serve your listeners with that information and that content. And that's great. And I love to do it because that's, you know, that's what drives things here. And that's what moves the needle. But I think there, you know, I always say there are things that you know, you have to give. And then there are things that you need to tell your listeners that they should be interested in. So it may be a guy like Bryce Mitchell, who's a, you know, an up and coming UFC fighter. It may be, you know, Central Arkansas is having a big time year in FCS football. And some people, if you're a Razorback fan, maybe you're not paying attention to that. It may be a guy that's really good at tiddlywinks and won a national tiddlywink competition. My thing is, if it's an Arkansas story, we want to tell it. I think it's important to sort of celebrate our successes within the state's borders. So if it's somebody with a connection, I mean, during Jermaine Taylor's rise to fame, you know, we had a great ride along with him and promoting him and talking about him and following his career. And so those are the kinds of things we really look forward to. But yeah, I mean, I, I don't think we don't go quite as far as some other shows. Like, I love Levitard. He's not for everybody, but they sort of do the anti-sports talk show as a sports talk show. And I do like that for sure. I think we're pretty irreverent, generally speaking. I am more so than Wes is. I'm not big on conforming, and I just do whatever I think is interesting. And the good news is I'm smack dab in the wheelhouse of our demo. And there was somebody I used to work with that isn't here anymore. And she said to me, well, you don't need a program for yourself. You need a program for your listener. I'm like, I am my listener. You know, I'm a 25 to 54 male who loves sports, who has a family, who drinks beer, who, you know, likes to go to restaurants, who likes to go to movies. You know, so we have, I think I am lucky in that regard. Now, when I get a little older, you know, I'm going to have to step out there a little bit more. You know, I could play music that I grew up on, but that's not going to be very intriguing for people that are in their 20s or 30s. So you have to think that way eventually. And I'm probably not too far from having to tweak a little bit, but the good news is for me, I've been fortunate that most of my career, I've been programming for my demo, you know, and my demo is me. I'm writing my own demo. So I'm fortunate.
So with me being a writer, I feel like I'm always reading to, you know, shape my work after some other journalists or, you know, just get better in general. What are some of the things that you do as a professional journalist to better yourself and better your craft?
The best thing we can do, and unfortunately our guys probably don't do it regularly enough, is just listen back to yourself. And there are a lot of times where I think an interview went really well, or I think it went really poorly, and I'll go back and listen to it, and I actually had the wrong perception of it. But you're so caught up in trying to listen to them and maybe finding a question that comes off of something you dovetail off, or getting ready for your next question, that you don't always pay attention to the, you know, sort of the syntax and the way that things flowed. So I think listening back is critical in our job. And then preparation is critical too. So, I mean, that's, you can always do a little bit better job with that. And I try to really prepare for interviews. I try to prepare for stories. There occasionally I get halfway down a thought and I'm like, oh wait, that's totally wrong. So you can't always be ready for everything. And, you know, we cover so much here and we talk about so many different things. It's hard to really be an expert on anything. So, and there are guys that I don't care for, that I feel like you're a one trick pony. And if you're not spectacular at that one trick, it's really annoying to me, because I feel like we have to talk about a lot of different things. And sometimes I feel like we're a little better versed in the issue that this person may only worry about. So yeah, I'm talking about Paul Feinbaum, but anyway, we just have our thing. So, I mean, it's, you gotta be a little bit kind of into everything, and you have to be curious. If you're curious, I mean, it really comes pretty easily. So, I don't remember what the original question was. There you go. I got lost, but, I mean, the bottom line is being prepared is a big thing for us. And then, yeah, I think listening back to your own performance. And I mean, I watch other guys. I mean, I grew up on Jim Rome. I mean, he was the guy that sort of started this thing nationally for us. And I listen to our guys too. I'll listen to some of the other shows in a GM role or a PD role and listen to what they're doing that I really like. And you may steal something even from somebody on your own station, whether it's the way they do something technique wise or, you know, oh, that would have never thought of getting that guy on. That makes me think, oh, maybe we should try to get this person on or whatever. But then I also may say, oh, that doesn't sound good. And I may say something to them about it. And then I also go, I probably do that sometimes too. I need to make sure not to do that.
Now I want to kind of switch gears here, because a lot of the guests we've had on, they've said one of the most important things you need to learn is the business side of journalism. And as a general manager of a station, I'm not sure exactly how involved you are in the business side. I'm sure you're pretty involved, but how important do you find the business side to be? Because we've talked a lot about the entertainment side, but there's a lot more to being a journalist.
Well, I think the question is, do you want to move into administration at some point? And do you want to be, you know, in management? And if you don't, then I don't know how important it is. I mean, my guys, most of them, you know, they come, they do a great job, they get a paycheck and they go home. They don't think about the bottom line. They don't think about cutting expenses. They don't think about sales if they're in programming, and they don't think about programming if they're in sales. Our promotions department, you know, is a separate issue too. And you work with them on different things, and they have their own concerns, their own budgets. So yeah, obviously I'm very involved in everything from sales, programming, promotions, all of it. I mean, it's really a three-part concentric circle thing. We all work together and we all work independently, if that makes any sense. You have your part that you do on your own, and then you have the part that you rely on the other side for. So we may have a segment we really want to do, and we want to get this guy on, but he's going to cost us this much in a talent fee every week. Well, then I have to go to sales and I have to go, hey, sales, can we get a sponsor to underwrite this so we can have this great programming on? And then, hey, promotions, can you promote the heck out of this so we get the best we can from a promotional standpoint on the programming side, so people know to tune in and catch XYZ person. And then also from a sales standpoint, their client who's sponsoring the segment makes sure they get plenty of bang for their buck too. So, you know, one hand really washes the other. There is a real synergy between them. But yes, there are definitely times where those departments work independently of one another.
On the topic of business, you as a general manager, I'm sure you have to do, you know, some hiring. So when you're looking for talent or somebody that you want to have host a show or work for the station, what traits do you find to be important? What are you looking for in a person?
Yeah, the most important thing is whether or not they put their shopping cart back in the barn. And if they don't, they're not going to work for us anytime soon. So let's just start with that. And I want you guys to spread the word on that. That is very important. They're not to go out in the middle. That's why they have the barns. They don't go in the middle of the parking lot. Somebody's going to get their car dinged up. Somebody's going to miss out on a parking spot because there's a cart in the way. This is rule one. This is basic humanity, guys. So that's the first thing, Robert.
The worst part is when it takes them as long to walk and just put it in the middle of the parking lot as it would to take them to put it in the barn.
That's a great point. So frustrating. Honestly, though, it's interesting because like we were talking about with roles, it depends who they're working with. So it depends what kind of traits does this person have? Are they a person who's used to leading a show, or are they someone who's used to playing off of a show? So it's to be like, I wouldn't hire a color analyst to do play-by-play or vice versa, you know what I mean? So it's a different skill set. I'll tell you the one thing I really wish we had more of, and I just don't get many candidates, is more female voices. I wish we would have more viable female candidates. I have not had... I mean, I don't know that we've ever had, I've been here since 06 in a management role, so 14 years. I bet I haven't had three really like experienced viable candidates that are interested in working in this market. And it's disappointing. So that's an area I'd really like to see grow. Cause I know a lot of women who are really, I think, great sports fans, would be good on the radio, have great personalities. And there have been times where there are people where I'm like, you know what, if you were ever interested in getting into radio, you're somebody that would definitely, and I can think of a couple of people off the top of my head specifically that I've talked to them about, like, if you ever want to get into it, you'd be great. And so that's something that maybe we'll pursue down the road. But yeah, I mean, everybody's different. I mean, and we don't have a lot of turnover either. That's the other thing. I mean, I think people like working here. We work for a private company. We're not one of these, you know, big corporations. And so it's a great place to work. You know, the president and the company have been good to our people. I mean, people who work here really are taken care of well. I mean, and really no better than this year with COVID, how great they've been to try to make things right for our folks who have suffered, whether it's in sales or on the programming side with talent fees and things. So it's been really challenging, but I mean, this is a unique environment. This is not, you know, nothing against the corporate. I've never worked for one, at least in radio. I worked for a larger company in TV, but it just, it's a little different feel. And I just, you know, we just don't have a lot of turnover, like I said. So, but you know, you gotta, it's weird how, I don't know what it is exactly, I guess, whatever the it thing is that you're looking for. Cause there are a lot of qualified people that apply every year that we have something. We usually have an opening every year or two, but I don't know, whatever that it thing is. I mean, you gotta be qualified on paper, and then, you know, your personality will kind of carry the day after that.
This is going to be the last question. I kind of want to take it back to something you've previously said when you were talking about getting the UCA job and how you weren't really comfortable in getting into play-by-play at first. But when I hear you on air, whether it's play-by-play or whether it's on the zone, you sound like a very confident guy, and you're confident about what you're saying. So how did you develop that confidence over time?
Well, I mean, I think I've always been a pretty good communicator. You know, my dad is a big talker, and I got in trouble a lot as a kid, and that's kind of how I knew I was going to get into broadcasting. I said, I might as well use it to my advantage because I obviously talk way too much. And I would say my personality on the radio is not really who I am in real life. I mean, some of the things we do with callers or we do with each other, the way I react to Wes is not what I would ever do in a real conversation. It's entertainment. I mean, so you're a little bit maybe more over the top than you normally would be. And you're trying to be a smart aleck to people. I just think it's funny. That's just my personality in general. But I would be more cognizant of being rude to people in real life than I would on the radio. You're playing a role, like I said. So that is not real life. But we're pretty close to who we are. I mean, we're not doing some, like, I'm not going to tell you I think the Razorbacks suck. If I think they're good, I'm not going to say, you know, that somebody should get fired just to try to create some conversation. We're not that way. That's not really the way we do things. But, I mean, we're real, but it's probably played up a little bit more. Play-by-play is just, I mean, honestly, the joy you hear, if that's what you get from me, because that's what I'm trying to convey, is how I feel. Like, I have always, always wanted to do play-by-play. If I could just do play-by-play, I try not to ever let my boss hear me say this, but if I could just do play-by-play and make enough money, that's exactly what I would do. If I could just work football season and basketball season and do play-by-play, that's exactly what I would do. And I wouldn't do anything else the rest of the year. I'd just hang out at the beach and drink cold beers. So that's not going to happen anytime soon, doesn't look like. And I love my job, don't get me wrong, but definitely the play-by-play is my favorite thing to do by far. So, I mean, if you hear excitement and joy, I mean, that's, you know, that's easy to convey. And I've been lucky too, at least on the football side at Central Arkansas, they win a lot. So, you know, calling for a program that wins, you know, two or three games a year, every year, that'd be a tall order, tough deal. And, you know, I know Chuck and those guys and Quinn, it's been a tough run for them the last few years. It's hard to try to get engaged and be excited about, you know, calling games where the results oftentimes the same and it's a negative result, but they do a great job. And that's the real challenge to me is, trying to make it interesting when things aren't going well, but we're lucky. I mean, the Bears have won a lot since I've been doing games. There've been very few years where they weren't relevant in the conference race and with the potential to go to the postseason.
Justin, thank you very much for joining us today. We really appreciate you coming on here, sharing your story, sharing your tips to be successful in this field. We had a great interview and I hope that you feel the same way.
Yeah. Thanks guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Justin.
Thanks for tuning in to Press Roots today, and a very special thank you to Justin Akery for joining us. Justin is among the best in the business in the state of Arkansas, and we are very, very appreciative that he took the time to chat with us and share his wisdom from the sports media industry. Shout out to everybody joining us from the Arkansas Traveler newsletter today. If you haven't subscribed to that, be sure to do so. Just go to uatrav.com, uatrav.com, and sign up with your email. It's free. You get access to the best work from student journalists here at the University of Arkansas, including the two of us. Give us a follow on Twitter at PressRootsPod. We love to hear from our listeners, so don't hesitate to tweet at us or DM us with any feedback or suggestions that you might have for us. Once again, thanks for listening to Press Roots. Take care, everyone.